Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you want erect penises, well, one at least, yours, use BlueChew.com. But it's not just about that, even though it is a lot about that. It's about that performance. It's about having that confidence. Blue Chew is made with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know they work, but they work on your schedule. Or not your schedule. Maybe you're not up to task. Blue Chew takes care of that for you, my friend. Get you ready whenever the mood arises or when it doesn't. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, and you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy or the doctor's office. It's because you consult with an online physician, and if approved, come straight to your door. That way you can, you know the rest. Just pay $5 shipping when you use that code FIGHTFUL. Otherwise, your first shipment is free. That's BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp here. What a big weekend we have ahead. We're going to make some predictions. We got All Out 2022, Clash of the Castle. I guess we're doing Worlds Collide as well. But we've got Ella J here. Ella, how you doing?
I'm fantastic to be here, Sean. And we have to do Worlds Collide per the request of the people. So I hope everyone watching this is happy now. You peer pressured Sean into doing Worlds Collide predictions with me as well.
Three shows. Like, there have been some shows of late where I haven't even done predictions, but there's three shows. And of course, we've got post shows for all of them on Fightful.com. We even have extra ones on FightfulSelect.com. But if you're watching this video, please leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate it. We are getting right into it. Zero Hour. Eddie Kingston, Tomohiro Ishii is a rematch of a phenomenal match in New Japan from DC earlier this year where Tomohiro Ishii won. I think it makes an awful lot of sense for Eddie Kingston to take this one, Ella.
I think so, too. I mean, especially after the interesting past few weeks he's had, being suspended, and then he's back. But there was, like, I'm surprised they aren't having him do anything with Sammy, or would that be blurring the lines of kayfabe and shoot too far? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, well, I asked Tony, like, minutes ago on this media call, and I was like, would you do it? And he's like, yeah, I'm on board. He's like, it's just a matter if they are, and if they're comfortable with it, I'm comfortable with it. And he's like, some of the best things emerge from stories like that. So yeah, I think Eddie Kingston makes an awful lot of sense. But Hook versus Angelo Parker. Matt Menard has been sidelined with an injury of late, but Parker and Menard both got new contracts. Good for them. Well deserved. But there ain't no way Parker's beating Hook for this FTW title in Zero Hour.
No, not like you said, not on a pre-show, especially if the FTW World Championship was maybe on the main card, maybe, but Hook hasn't had the championship for that long, and they're very high on him, obviously. I mean, he just had an impressive win on Rampage last week, if not the week before, in like 14 seconds. So there is no way that Hook is losing this anytime soon.
Yeah, to me, Hook is, I wish we'd see him on TV more. Like, it feels like he got white hot, he got that moment, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, he's gone again. But another title match that I don't see this changing hands. Pac against Kip Sabian. I'm glad to see Kip Sabian back. I keep talking about this unique charisma in which he possesses that a lot of people don't quite know about. They knew him as Miro's buddy and then the guy with the box on his head. And that's really the extent of what a lot of people had seen of him. However, now he's getting an opportunity to really show what he can do in the ring against a guy like Pac. And I'm sure Pac will make it a mission to let people know what this guy can do in the ring. But to me, there's no way Pac loses this.
Do you think that since Kip is coming back kind of like out of nowhere that they force like a DQ or something where Pac still ultimately retains? I feel like they made a whole like promo package for Kip Sabian's return. I feel like there's got to be something to this match. In the end, I think Pac is going to remain champion, but I feel like there's got to be some other substance or some other curveball to this. Don't you think? I don't know.
I think there'll be a curveball. I just don't think they'll go DQ because it's a title match. True. And especially so early into the life of the all Atlantic title. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would do that, but you know, I could be wrong. We got the House of Black, Malachi Black, Brody King, Buddy Matthews against Miro, Darby Allin, Sting. There have been some rumors around the internet in which I have not confirmed that Malachi might not exactly be thrilled in AEW, but Sting and Darby Allin have been, or Sting's been very protected. Darby, not as much. Miro, he's had his runs and all that. House of Black just took a loss, but I feel like maybe even as a goodwill gesture, the House of Black winning could be a nice move. It'd be a huge win for them. This is, I think, an important match because you're establishing a trios division, but I want to know how you feel about this one.
They've been booking Sting really strong and Miro strong up until obviously his loss in like the Atlantic Championship tournament. House of Black, didn't you say they just lost? So I don't know. Yeah. I feel like you said, this is going to be a huge match and really an indicator of who they see being a contender in the trios tournament and the trios championship now coming into the forefront. I feel like it's got to be Sting, Darby, and Miro. But also, like you said, House of Black did just lose. So I think it comes down to who they value more. And for me, I feel like Darby's also been, I mean, Darby lost, but then he won. So I feel like it could go either way. But for me, I think I got to go with Darby and Sting and Miro on this one.
It makes sense. I for them to lose that match, well, Sting probably ain't taking the pin. I think they'll wait for a big moment for that. He's like their superhero grandpa, and I like that type of gimmick on him. But yeah, I'm leaning more towards them. It's just, I don't know if that will, if the rumors about Malachi not being exactly thrilled there are true, I don't know if that will serve them any favors. We got Christian Cage and Jungle Boy. I think Christian Cage has done incredible work during this feud. Jungle Boy says he's going to fight Jack Perry. Yes. So this might be like the genesis of Jungle Jack Perry. I think if Jim Ross made one contribution to AEW, it is normalizing using Jungle Boy's real name, because eventually that is the name you want to use. If he's on, you know, a red carpet or something like that, you want him to be Jack. You want him to be Jack Perry. That way people are like, oh yeah, Luke Perry's son, as opposed to Jungle Boy. Oh, that guy's got cool hair type of thing. How do you see this one going? Christian's been doing incredible work, but Jungle Boy feels like, man, if he loses this after all the shit that Christian said, that'd be tough.
I think we're going to see a new side to Jungle Boy, more so beyond the like, hey, happy to be here, you know, like rock star that we've seen him be as one of the pillars of AEW. We've seen a little bit more of an edginess to Jungle Boy Jack Perry. It should be Jungle Boy in quotes, Jack Perry, honestly. But I think that with all the heel work Christian is doing, he's really setting up to put over the younger talent here. And especially if Jungle Boy is going into this as Jack Perry to kind of start maybe a new character arc to him, Jungle Boy's got to take the win here, especially considering Christian was the one who turned on him. So it's time for him to get his revenge on Christian Cage. So I think this is going to be a great match for Christian to put over the younger talent.
I think Christian ends up winning because Luchasaurus interferes. And I think that we finally see him turn on Jack Perry, and because we haven't seen him touch Christian yet.
No, but also he turned on Jungle Boy, then he turned on Christian. Do we really want this kind of flip-flopping back and forth?
But we haven't seen him really turn on Christian. True. We haven't seen him really strike Christian yet. Casino ladder match, Claudio, Yuta, Penta, Phoenix, Dante, Andrade, Rouge, and the Joker. The big question is, who's the Joker? You know, everybody's working themselves into a shoot saying MJF, MJF. I don't know if his skill set necessarily fits with this crew. He's a phenomenal in-ring wrestler. He's really good, far better than anybody gives him credit for. But I mean, this is very clearly a specific kind of ladder match. I think maybe if Jeff Hardy pops back up, if he's clean, good to go, that could make a lot of sense. Eddie Kingston, I think that could be an interesting one. If he's beat to shit from Zero Hour and he comes limping out as the Joker, he gets that title win. And guess what? There he is taking on CM Punk in the main event of Grand Slam at
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Arthur Ashe, his hometown, in the main event. I think that could be very cool. Who do you think the Joker is going to be?
I don't know. A lot of people are saying MJF, but like ladder matches isn't like his thing, you know? Oh, I don't know. It could be a Jeff Hardy as a surprise, you know, if he's clean and all that. But honestly, it hasn't been that long to where I think that he might have been cleared.
Sure.
Oh, I kind of like
that's me throwing shit at the wall right there. Yeah. Nothing to indicate that.
I don't know. There's been a lot of surprises. I'm trying to think like who are like some free agents right now that would be like big names, or do they possibly tie in like a New Japan guy that we've seen kind of popping up in AEW? I think it could be a New Japan guy. Which one? I don't know. I'm kind of feeling that vibe though. But I mean, this has got to be Claudio winning, right?
That would be an interesting one. I think that'd be an interesting one. But see, I also think if Eddie Kingston reemerges and costs Claudio, that also furthers that feud as well. So I think there's some juice that could be done there. Swerve in Our Glory against the Acclaimed. I love the Acclaimed. I'm glad they're in this spot. They deserve to be in this spot. But I got Swerve in Our Glory winning this. I keep saying the Acclaimed remind me a lot of the New Age Outlaws. Like before they even hit the ring, they've said like three or four things that get them over. The difference is, I think Bowens is better than Billy Gunn or Road Dogg ever were in the ring. I think Max Caster is almost on par. Like he's somewhere between Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, better than Road Dogg in the ring, probably not as good as Billy Gunn in that sense yet. But I think Swerve and Our Glory are going to win this. They've got magic in that team right now. They've got some special chemistry going on. How do you feel?
I think so too. This reign hasn't been too long. It's only been a month and a half maybe.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's cool that the Acclaimed are now aligned with Billy Gunn. I think we're going to get that scissor me daddy ass moment in there. And maybe Billy tries to throw some shenanigans in there, but I've been really enjoying Swerve and Our Glory's reign so far. Obviously leading up, they were kind of teasing tension between them, but they've been a solid team. And I think they're going to continue their role going forward into the fall.
We've also got Chris Jericho, Bryan Danielson. This is quite a match to just add like as late as they did. And this is a good type of match, I think, because if you have like a new friend come over that's familiar with some wrestlers and maybe doesn't know what AEW was, they'll at least know who these two guys are. We're talking WrestleMania main eventers right here on AEW All Out. Still, Bryan Danielson's winning. He lost to Garcia, but I think he's got to win this. You got to keep him strong for the eventual push back up the card to the title match, because I think Danielson and Punk is a huge main event in the future. And Jericho just sort of had his peak again in that title match and had a really good one. How are you seeing this one unfolding?
Oh, we're getting Lionheart Chris Jericho back for this match at All Out. It's kind of the wrestler versus technical wrestler versus the sports entertainer. Like, a lot of people are saying this is kind of the custody of Daniel Garcia match, which honestly, I would love to see Garcia at ringside. I feel like he definitely will be. And then Danielson getting the win here and Garcia kind of cementing himself in his corner, but also Garcia has the pure title match next week in my hometown and his hometown. So I don't know if that's going to play into any of it. But I'm pulling in JR. Bryan Danielson is definitely going to take home the win here. I think this is definitely like a main event worthy match, especially, I mean, you have two main event players in there. Bryan's got to win.
We got Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs. Man, it's like, I don't know how you deny Ricky Starks with some of the promo work he's done. Mm-hmm. But Powerhouse Hobbs also seems like a guy that he could really use this win. Like, it would be very important for him to have this win. Obviously, the promo work hasn't been on par with Ricky Starks, but that's not an insult. Ricky Starks is one of the best promos in the world. By when it all is said and done, he's going to be one of the best promos ever. I think they'll go with Powerhouse Hobbs here. I think that, I think they should go with Ricky, but I think that they could build to an eventual Powerhouse Hobbs, Wardlow, sirloin beef, sons of bitches, meat slapping, just type of thing. What do you think?
I could see this one going either way. Powerhouse turning on Ricky Starks after Ricky lost the FTW championship and kind of building him up to be like a solo star. First, obviously, he has to crush this rivalry intention with Ricky Starks. And then maybe he moves on to like a Wardlow, like you said. But also Ricky Starks just lost basically everything. He lost like his best friend. He lost his championship. Is this kind of the triumph that he needs? So I could see it going either way. I think it just comes down to, do they value Hobbs moving forward as like a legit single star, or did they rely more on the story of Ricky Starks getting his revenge and getting his triumphance on his friend who just turned on him, who cost him the championship? I have to go with Ricky Starks here. I mean, as much as I would love to see them push Powerhouse Hobbs as a singles competitor, maybe going against a Wardlow, I'm just afraid he's going to get lost in the shuffle after this match, then end up on Rampage and then like just on Dark, and then we're not going to see him. I'm afraid. I hope I'm wrong and that they continue forward with this push, but I foresee Ricky Starks kind of getting his revenge on getting his karma back at Powerhouse Hobbs.
Jade Cargill, Athena, TBS Championship. I think that this match is going to help out Jade Cargill in so many ways. You want ring generals like Athena on your roster. You want people that can work with less experienced people like Jade and bring them up. How do you see this one going?
Jade's extending her winning streak. I feel like if they had maybe built this lead up a bit better, like they could, I mean, Athena all in herself, her credit, she has so much credibility, just I feel like there's not enough belief in it to where she would actually be like a proven, she's going to be contender against Jade, but people actually really, really believing that this is the person that's going to beat Jade. There just, to me, hasn't been enough build up going into this. Like you said, I think for sure Athena is going to make Jade look really, really good. And Jade's been improving a lot too, but at the end of the day, this might be the longest match Jade is probably going to have thus far. But at the end of the day, she's just going to retain and add another win to her win column.
Well, I look at this and I think that Jade Cargill eventually, I've said this before, I think that she eventually combines the TBS and world titles, because I feel like the TBS title sort of came at the compromise of women's tag titles. Mm-hmm. I think that they probably, especially based on the history of Khan's booking, he looked at it and he's like, I really want Jade Cargill to be a champion and have to have a title, but I don't want to beat Britt Baker right now, because it was also Britt Baker's time.
Yeah.
And you can't realistically keep those two separate for a year. So I feel like maybe the tag team division that looked like it was primed came at a compromise. And now we see more women's tag team wrestling on AEW than before. So I would love to see Jade Cargill continue to win and then eventually say, well, I want that title too, and I want to combine them. Then they can make a women's tag team title, or they could just do it anyway. But I think Jade Cargill isn't losing anytime soon.
Or another route is she says, I don't need this. I've proven this. I'm ready to level up and vie for the main championships, the AEW Women's World Championship, and they set up a new champion in that place. I could see them going that route, or I just fear that combining them two is also, they already don't get enough time as is. My fear with combining them is that we're going to even get less screen time than we're getting for women too. So that's my only fear with combining them though.
We've got the Elite versus TBA AEW Trios title. Tony Khan had told me earlier this year that he was effectively waiting for Kenny Omega to come back to do these titles. And duh, I mean, it was very clear. Undisputed versus Elite was the plan. Not anymore. Bobby Fish is gone. Like, he's just gone. Which, you know, makes his comments about CM Punk's kicks make a lot more sense. It makes him taking an indie booking last week and doing seminars make a lot more sense. Also makes a lot more sense that he's doing a podcast and has interviews out now. So I would assume that his deal, he knew it was coming up soon. And I share those criticisms. Like, I would have done whatever I could to make sure that I could do Undisputed versus Elite. Unfortunately, Undisputed aren't healthy. Like, they just aren't healthy. What we do know is that Roderick Strong wants the hell out of WWE. And you know what? If you can do that, you just get Roderick Strong and you do it later on down the line and you have it and you're happy. However, as we film this, we don't know who's winning on Friday at Rampage. I'm going to assume, since Hangman Page is in there, you ain't going to leave him off of all out, Ella. No. You got this great story. We don't even know that Kenny has watched back their title match to see the Young Bucks sort of being like, no, go ahead, do it. We don't even know that yet. It has to be Elite. It has to be Dark Order. This is one of those stories that sort of tells itself. I'm torn on who wins this, because if there is no Undisputed around, what is the motivation to keep Elite together? Besides the blossoming trios division, that's a reason. But if you're not building to Elite versus Undisputed, there is no great singular reason to keep these three together besides that division, or if you're going to put the titles on them. Hangman always having their number would also be a really good story as well. I just think that's one of the most masterful stories that I've seen done in wrestling. But I would love to hear what you think about Dark Order versus Elite, because that's what's going to happen.
You may have just convinced me otherwise, because I feel like going into this, the Elite, I mean, obviously with Kenny Omega coming back and the Bucks just being phenomenal as always, that they were a shoe-in for this. But with the addition of, we're just completely glossed. We're just assuming again too that the Dark Order is going to be in the finals, which I do think is going to be the case at the time of filming this, as they beat Best Friends most likely on Rampage. The addition to Hangman to this, I'm so glad that he has a slot now on All Out, because I would have fought if he didn't. But like you said, I think it's a good story arc too, that Hangman always has the Elite's number, and you kind of maybe just swayed me the other way. It doesn't make sense to have the Elite maybe to win the championships right now if they're hoping to go for an Undisputed rivalry. So maybe, just maybe, the Dark Order finally gets some gold. It's cool to finally see John Silver and Alex Reynolds finally get legit screen time and not like lose all the time or get lost in the shuffle. With the addition of Hangman, obviously strengthens their chances. I think you just swayed me otherwise, though. Maybe the Dark Order is going to win here.
There you go. I'm so fascinated with this match. I can't wait. Britt Baker, Hikaru Shida, Jamie Hayter, Tony Storm. So Tony Khan got some major criticism for how he handled the answer with CM Punk Thunder Rosa. And he said, well, we found out a couple hours before that Thunder Rosa wasn't going to wrestle. So that's why we didn't exactly have time to do an 8-minute promo. And he said, if we're being honest, an 8-minute Thunder Rosa promo is not going to draw like an 8-minute CM Punk promo. I think objectively that's true. It's just, I do feel like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if you don't give the women more time in general, of course they're not going to draw like the men. And the way that the question was framed, I do like, it did kind of set him up to have that sort of slam dunk answer, because all right, we're comparing it to CM Punk. That's an uphill battle in general. Nobody's going to draw more than CM Punk. Like, period. But just in general, should it have gotten more time? Yeah, probably. I thought that a really good way would have had Thunder Rosa do it on the stage, and then Britt Baker's music hits, and Britt Baker completely dismisses and ignores Thunder Rosa. You play off of the heat that they've got. She's like, you're not relevant right now because you can't fight. And then they set up the match. What did you think about the handling of all that? Because, I mean, let's be real. You've been tied up in a little bit of that Tony controversy in the past.
I have. I'm going to be honest. I was not on the media call today due to other stuff. But I feel like I definitely agree with you with the delivery of that Thunder Rosa breaking the news that she has to step away and can't defend her championship. Felt very rushed and like out of nowhere. I mean, granted, it was a very last minute thing that had happened. She got injured. They had to change their scripts most likely, but I do like the idea that either she comes down to the stage or comes down to the ring and then gets interrupted like by a Britt Baker or Toni Storm demands like, I have a title match, so what happens now? Like something like that. I feel like it was very rushed, and I get it, they were in like last minute crisis mode with that, but they could have booked it in a way that I feel like really, really set up the four who were competing in the matchup, especially with Thunder Rosa's history with Britt Baker. That would have been an easy shoe and so in character for Britt to just interrupt and, like you said, dismiss it, or to have Toni Storm be like, hope you feel better, but what happens with me now? Basically, I feel like they could have done it so many different ways and cut a segment of something else on that show that night.
Yeah, I don't need to see the Ass Boys every week. I don't. I think they're good performers. I just don't need to see them every week.
That match was what, 30 seconds against the Varsity Blondes that week, right?
I don't got to see Jay Lethal, Satnam, and Sanjay every week.
No.
Don't got to see it. Baker, Sheeta, Hayter, Storm. If I know Britt the way that people talk about her, I feel like, considering that there is legit heat, that she probably campaigned to take the pin on Wednesday. Like, as sort of a message, like, look, I can eat a loss and still be over. So it wouldn't shock me if Hayter ends up pinning Britt Baker to win this title. Toni Storm was supposed to win at All Out, isn't happening. So I don't know if they'll go that route, but I could see Hayter pinning Britt Baker.
I'm so glad you say that, Sean. I thought that you were going to go with what a lot of other people were saying and say that Toni was supposed to win at All Out.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On Sunday anyways, and that she'd win here, but especially with Britt Baker taking the pin here, I was honestly shocked that Jamie did not take the pin yesterday. Very shocked that they had Britt Baker take it. So I feel like that changes perceptions into it. And I have been wanting Jamie Hayter to win for the longest time, but I think going in now, there's actual legit maybe chances for her to win. I think it's going to be Jamie or Toni. I don't see them strapping it back on Britt, considering she just got pinned and Sheeta got the pin. So I feel like by process of elimination, it has to be Toni or Jamie. I wish they had a little bit more time to set up the kind of tension maybe between Jamie and Britt. But I think in the end, we're going to see Britt and Jamie working together before Jamie's like every man for themselves and then ends up maybe getting a surprise roll up or win on Britt Baker, or Britt gets taken out by Sheeta and then Jamie sneaks in and gets the win and then Britt's mad and it starts kind of the dissension between them. I'm rooting for Jamie Hayter all the way though.
Yeah, I mean, man, she hasn't been protected like to any real degree.
No.
And she still gets an awful lot of buzz. I'm excited to see this one too. Plus, we haven't really seen in a long time like a women's title match four-way like this.
No.
So I'm excited to check that out. John Moxley, CM Punk. Well, I'm glad that Moxley got another reign. He's a Cincinnati guy. I love that. But it is a CM Punk second title reign that we're about to see. I think it's almost a slam dunk.
Really?
Oh yeah. I think it is absolutely happening.
What was the point then of him getting
pop a rating? You pop a rating and you get a number. You do the match twice, but you can't look at that match and say, well, that's reflective of what the match will be, right? You can't really say that because you know that match ain't going to go that short, even though there's 732 matches on this show.
I'm surprised that they didn't have him really sell the like foot injury yesterday. Like to me, he wasn't at the time of recording this. It's Thursday. So he wasn't really limping to the ring at all yesterday, especially after he was selling like he could have maybe re-injured his foot. I'm kind of surprised he didn't do that yesterday. And then he obviously cut this impassioned promo in front of the Chicago crowd. I feel like now we're getting the match that we deserved to see last week. Why they couldn't, this just couldn't have been the unifying match, I honestly don't know.
I mean, from a buzz standpoint, I can tell you that after that match, we did some of the biggest numbers we've ever done for a post show. So it created buzz. Yeah. Just a matter of, was that buzz good or not? And I think that will be a story told in the specific buy rate that we get for this show. Well, that ain't all we got. We got Clash at the Castle, Rey Mysterio and Edge versus Judgment Day, Finn Balor, Damian Priest. I think for this crowd, you're going to see a pay-per-view crowd in Cardiff that doesn't get a lot of live events. I think that Rey Mysterio and Edge winning is a very feel-good thing. Balor and Priest can lose. They lose all the damn time. Edge and Rey Mysterio, though, are like two of the biggest active legends going. And this is what you want for a big pop, a big feel-good moment. I think they're winning this one.
I think so, too, especially with Edge coming back at SummerSlam, and especially if they're going to go in and not have Drew win the championship. They got to have a big babyface win for the evening, which would be Edge and Rey Mysterio. The Judgment Day, though, has had Rey Mysterio's number, so I think it is also time for Rey to kind of get back at them, and obviously with Dominic and Rhea most likely looming in the background. I feel like we'll see some ringside shenanigans.
Does but Dom I'm... turn?
People have been saying that. I mean, maybe...
Does Dom officially become Rhea's sub?
I was just saying that it's ironic that you said turn, because it's possible that he gets turned on and becomes Rhea's sub. Possibly, but if he does, do you still have Edge and Rey winning?
Yeah, that's true too, because what's Dom going to do?
If Dom turns, then Judgment Day, I would say, is winning. If he doesn't, then Rey and Edge.
We have Seth freaking Rollins versus Riddle. You know, when they moved this from SummerSlam, I was like, I don't know. Well, as it turns out, Ella, under this new regime, you can actually let it play out. And it's not just a meme when you say it. You can let it play out, and it might be a good thing. This was a very good thing. This feud
certainly
has
got views.
This feud has been really fun to watch. Riddle has been putting people over nonstop since Randy left. Do you think he manages to get it back, or do you think that they capitalize on this? Oh no, he didn't. That Seth Rollins has.
Seth Rollins has also been losing on almost every pay-per-view this year, though. But also Riddle's been losing in like big opportunities lately as well, like against Roman Reigns and like for the tag titles and all of that. I do think Riddle does take the win here, especially after the shot that Rollins made in the promo that went viral.
Yeah.
But also Rollins has been losing at every pay-per-view this year besides like a DQ win at the Rumble, if I'm correct. So do you have Rollins continue that losing streak? But I do think it is time for Riddle to regain his momentum. I mean, after Rollins attacked him at SummerSlam too and all of that and his comments made, I feel like this is going to be the way to Riddle to get over and get his revenge on Seth Rollins.
I'm interested in this. I can't wait to see this. I love that. It's gonna be personal. The way that they built it. I think it's good shit. I think that it's really good shit. Liv Morgan, Shayna Baszler. I don't think Shayna's going to win, but I am a big fan of how immediately Triple H said, "You ain't out here biting necks. You're not out here playing second fiddle. you are going to be a contender. You're going to be the person that I know that you can be. I think Liv Morgan wins. She's got some good momentum. She's got a really great following right now. And I think that Shayna Baszler is going to help Liv Morgan display a set of skills that maybe even her fans don't know that she possesses, because that's a different kind of match when you're facing Shayna Baszler. I still got Liv winning. How are you feeling?
So do I. What ways by Liv wins, I don't know, but I am, as somebody who's not even, hasn't been the biggest fan of Shayna Baszler, I do think that she's been very much lost in the shuffle and really held back a lot from her potential that we saw in NXT. And even in her first call up to the main roster, where she went and challenged Becky and won Elimination Chamber and all of that, it's good to kindly, especially on a SmackDown women's division, who outside of like Liv and Ronda, there isn't much substance to it. So it's cool to see somebody like a Shayna stepping back up and showing former shades of herself that we know that she's capable of as this submission specialist. I feel like Liv especially is going to have to fight out of these submissions, and like you said, really push Liv to maybe something we haven't seen from her before, is in really cement her as a fighting champion, because Liv's victories lately have been kind of questionable. So I don't know what means Liv wins, but I do think it's strong, especially with all the support that Liv has behind her and bringing her back to a place of confidence and seeing her grow, I think is the right call. But I don't know how she wins here, honestly.
I'm also maybe more excited than I am for any match this weekend. Gunther and Sheamus. These two beefy boys are going to beat the absolute dog shit out of one another. I'm ready. They're going to be bleeding. They're going to be bruised up. They're going to be purple. I think Gunther's going to win, but listen, I want Sheamus to win, because the career that this guy has had has just been so special. He went from a guy that I couldn't wait to turn the TV off when he was on the screen. When he was a babyface, they'd try to make him a stand-up comedian all the time, and he's a naturally personable, wonderful, likable guy. It's just, I look at him and I'm like, man, you're going to beat the shit out of somebody. And as it turns out, when he does that, I think he's one of the best performers in the world. The Intercontinental title is the only thing that eludes him. I also wouldn't mind like a pseudo face run out of this, where we know that this is the only thing that eludes him and he comes up short. And you build to that later on down the line, instead of like sort of the hasty build that they've had. I mean, that's the only thing he's lacking for a grand slam. He has been a 3-time WWE champion, 1-time world heavyweight champion. He's held the tag titles 5 times and the US title 3 times. He's won King of the Ring, Money in the Bank, and the Royal Rumble. There is almost nothing he hasn't done. If he wants a 24/7 title, I'm sure they'll give it to him at some point. But booking Walter to lose is a pretty tall task in its own, because he's special. How do you feel about this one?
Another question, too, is does Butch become Pete Dunne? A lot of people have been saying, too, especially with going back into the UK for WWE. So that's going to be something to watch, too. But I do like the idea that you have of, I don't think that they're going to have Gunther / Walter lose here. He's only had the title less than 2 months. They just have him built on such a strong winning streak. I feel like there needs to be more. I feel like they can continue this on, have it elude Sheamus, and then at some point win the Intercontinental Championship. Maybe they kind of have him do what a Drew did, after Drew kept losing championship opportunity after losing. And then all of a sudden he's like, This is my last. If I can't, then I can't challenge for anything else. I could see them going that route. I do think, though, that Gunther continues his winning streak. It's going to be a hell of a brawl, though, in Cardiff. I'm really excited for that. But like you said, I do hope at some point Sheamus, I could have swore that he won it. I'm actually shocked when I learned that he hadn't. I thought he did. And so I do hope that he gets that Grand Slam champion status finally at some point. But now is not the time.
A fantastic looking 6-woman tag. You got Bayley, Dakota, Io against Alexa, Asuka, and Bianca. This is a dark horse. This weekend is full of killer matches. And this one, especially the way that WWE produces six person tag, six woman tag, whatever you want to call it, and fatal four ways and stuff like that. They're really good when they can use the excuse of not having to let anything breathe. And I love that because there isn't going to be as much psychology applied to a fatal four way or a six person tag. There's more ingredients involved. I feel like it would be important for Bayley, Dakota, and Io to win this after Dakota and Io lost the tag match. I feel like it's important. How do you feel?
Can we swear on here, by the way?
Yeah, of course.
This shit is going to be a banger.
Yeah,
I'm so fucking excited for this. I do absolutely agree with you after the weird ending where a lot of people are saying, let it ride out. Let it see how it plays out after Dakota was not the legal woman and Aaliyah rolled her up. I'm trying to stick to that theory right now here, Sean. And I feel like time will definitely tell if Bayley, Io, and Dakota get their momentum back as they should. I'm really trying to let it play out. I absolutely think that they should get the win here. Obviously, there ain't no way in hell Bianca's taking a pin.
No.
I fear, though, that Asuka would get... She got pinned in the semifinals, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think they're going to have Lex take the pin. I think, unfortunately, Asuka's going to be eating another pin here, as much as I don't want her to be. You have really the six top women on Raw going in here. I think it's going to be phenomenal, but absolutely keeping Bayley, Io, and Dakota on track to kind of run the tag team division, I think, is crucial, and a win here would definitely cement that. And if as long as you don't have Bianca eating this pin, that kind of keeps her momentum at bay going into the future, too.
We got Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Undisputed Universal Championship. They put a lot of juice into Drew right like ahead of this. I have long felt like the person who beats Roman Reigns should be somebody who really, really needs it. Maybe he does in order to reestablish him where he was before the pandemic, because boy, did that hurt. That sucked. Does he deserve his moment? Yes, he does. I feel like, one, you need two different champions because that shit's old. So you could do this and then have Heyman finally reemerge, the wise man, and say, well, the contract was only for one title. It was for the WWE title. That's how I think this might play out now. How do you see it?
I'm live. Sorry. I'm really hoping and praying that Drew wins this. I'm really hoping and praying that he does, because much like yourself, it's kind of just become a thing that I am just frankly like sick of. It's like the same thing over and over. And especially too, if Roman wants more time at home with his family, I mean, he's celebrating 2 years now as champ. I mean, this would give him an opportunity to drop the titles and be more of a family man too as well. So I'm hoping Drew wins. I'm hoping you bring up an interesting case of like, oh, it's actually only for one title. I think that effectively separates the championships having to be a package deal. And so, but I do think Roman's just going to retain both of them though.
And you know what, that based on the investment they've made in him, I get it. And you do need somebody that's like undeniable. That's not a Cody Rhodes pun, but somebody that's kind of undeniable to kind of take that as well. We're going to get into Worlds Collide. These will be a little bit more abbreviated, but here's a word from our sponsors, Magic Spoon.
Do you like cereal but hate all the junk that's associated with it? Well, MagicSpoon.com/Fightful has you covered. Save $5 off your order when you get a custom bundle, custom box right now. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs per serving. Only 140 calories per serving. Keto friendly, grain free, soy free, low carb, and gluten free. And right now you can build your own box. Not just right now, anytime. Blueberry, cinnamon, honey nut, maple waffle, cookies and cream, cocoa fruity, frosted peanut butter. All the flavors you loved growing up. And how about this? A money back guarantee. If for some reason you don't like it or you just want your money back, MagicSpoon.com/Fightful does that. Not only is it great in the mornings, it's great for a snack throughout the day, a midnight snack as well, without having all those carbs and unhealthy parts of cereal. MagicSpoon.com/Fightful.
NXT Worlds Collide, Nathan Frazier versus Axiom, best of three falls. Nathan Frazier is, again, an undeniable talent. I interviewed him after his AEW appearance a couple years ago. And now he's over in the States. He's doing really well. I'll pick Nathan Frazier to win this one.
Admittedly, I don't get the chance to watch a lot of NXT or NXT UK due to work and all of that. But from what I
watch in UK anymore,
that's true. Unfortunately, well, I shouldn't.
Nobody was before that.
It's going to be NXT Europe now. There are some interesting matchups on this card, though. I think Nathan Frazier, though, seems to have a bit of momentum going into this. I think it's going to be a really good match. Just a lot of these matches were also thrown together at the last minute, so it's kind of like, what are the stakes, you know?
We got Mandy Rose, Mako Satomura, Blair Davenport to unify the UK and NXT Women's Championships. I could see Satomura winning this or Blair Davenport taking both of these and Mandy hitting the bricks, heading back to the main roster. You get Toxic Attraction up there. They did great in their appearance on SmackDown. I thought JC Jane was, oh my God, she translated so well to the main roster. So I would say bring them up. Blair Davenport, Mako could probably lead that thing. How are you feeling?
Me personally, I was confidently heading into this. There's no way that the final boss is losing, but a lot of people have brought up a third option that Blair might just be there to take the pin from Mandy. So I honestly didn't even envision any world where Blair Davenport could honestly win the championships after they're unified. So you bring up a good point. Maybe they're wanting to call up Mandy. I think I felt like this was the time for the final boss to kind of ride the NXT wave and get more exposure over on NXT television in the States. I think Mandy, it's the time she gets called back up again, barring Gigi's injury. We don't really know how serious that is and stuff. However, a lot of people have been saying that Mandy just pins Blair and then she doesn't have to touch Satomura. And technically she has a win over Satomura. I feel like there's a lot of ways you could go with this, but I think I have to go with my gut with Mako Satomura winning here.
That's such a safe 1-2. It is such a safe pick for them. We got Creed Brothers, Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs, Gallus and Pretty Deadly. To me, the Creed Brothers are perfect to win because they are established, but they need a lot more time before they go up to the main roster. They need more seasoning, so I could see them being in NXT for the foreseeable future. How about you?
You don't think Pretty Deadly would go over here?
I don't.
No, interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting. I feel like, too, they kind of have to... Do we also think that this show has more NXT wins or more NXT UK wins? Also,
I think it has more NXT wins because if NXT UK was that great, they probably wouldn't have to unify.
Fair point.
Yeah. So I'd say Mako is maybe like the big one there.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like too, a lot of the NXT, well, a lot of the main roster and NXT UK matches were also just thrown together this past week. Mm-hmm. So but they're also in the UK. So I feel like you want to have some UK wins in there too as well.
Well, we do have Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. Mm-hmm. competing for the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. I don't think they'll win, but I do think it's smart of them to put them against Carter and Katana. But
And Nikki A.S.H. now, I mean, is the first woman to now challenge for all the available women's titles and the 24/7 championship that are existing today. I thought that was a really cool statistic that I saw on social media, too.
And, I mean... Doudrop was in NXT UK, so you got that representation there as well. So the thing is, Kayden and Katana have long seemed to me like a team that just would get called up at random.
Yeah.
But that was under Vince when there was no rhyme or reason. And it's like, hey, Dana Brooke, you're not anywhere near ready. Here you go, come up and then learn on the job for 5 years. Well, okay. I think now you're probably going to see them in NXT a little bit longer. I think Doudrop and Nikki are probably going to be integral to help developing that tag team division on the main roster. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing this title combined with the main roster women's tag titles. And then that's your magic ticket, your golden ticket all the way around brands, assuming you're going to give a damn about the brand split. That's, BC winning this one.
That's what they should have done in the first place, and kept it just kept the main roster tag titles where they were traveling. That's what they should have done in the first place. Sean.
Raquel and Dakota should have won those titles. It shouldn't have been Shayna and Nia. There was no reason for it.
I know. Don't get me started down this rabbit hole. But no, absolutely, Katana and Kayden, I think, are just going to take the win here. However, I do think that there might be like an almost near fall where we see former shades of Piper Niven finally. So I'm excited to see them return. I feel like they're going to get a great pop there. However, they just haven't had any momentum on the main roster. They've been losing after losing. And especially too, since Katana and Kayden have only been champs for a couple of weeks now, I think they just continued their momentum forward. Hopefully they'll building to a unification match at some point, but we are nowhere ready right now to be anywhere near in sight to this possible unification match.
Then we have Bron Breakker, Tyler Bate. I am fascinated by this match because physically it's such a wild matchup. Like, how the hell is this going to go? Bron Breakker is like 6 feet tall, 230, 235. Tyler Bate on a good day is 5'6", 170. And I don't doubt that Tyler Bate can powerbomb Bron Breakker, and I want to see it really bad. I want to see him do a tiger driver to Bron Breakker. But I think Bron Breakker wins this because I do think that while he may have been fast-tracked before, I think now he's going to get a lot more time to develop. A lot of people look at him and say, oh, well, he is an NXT guy. Yeah, but he was rushed to NXT 2.0 when Triple H lost control and wasn't even told until the day before. So I think that they're going to take their time with Bron Breakker now. I think he wins this.
I have to agree with you, too. I think even in this loss, Tyler Bate is probably still going to be, well, I don't know how many of these people they're actually going to bring over, or if any, to NXT 2.0 following this. I would assume a couple of them. But I do think especially Bron Breakker has had like very up and down booking since becoming NXT champion, losing to Dolph Ziggler, regaining it at the Raw after Mania. I feel like you said, he was kind of rushed to the NXT brand. I feel like now is with the forceful win over Tyler Bate gives them the opportunity and more time to develop him more and keep going on this upward trajectory that he's been on.
I'm excited for it. This weekend is just one of the most loaded in-ring weekends I've ever seen in my life. Ella, tell the people where they can find you, where they can support you. Where they can tweet you hate mail, I guess.
Don't tweet me hate mail, please. You can at Sean, so if you want to send me hate mail, you can tweet at Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter, actually, and he'll answer it for you. You can follow me.
You posted a picture with me and you didn't get any hate mail. You know how miraculous that is?
I think there was actually one that just got one tweet, but I mean, that's not too bad. That's not too bad, actually. But you can follow me on Twitter at it's Ella J. If you go to the link tree in my bio, you can find all my links to all my projects and freelance work, because there's a lot, but we don't have all day to do that. So Twitter is the best place to follow me, though.
Guys, thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up. Post shows after everything. Support Ella J. Show her some love. Until next time, we're out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.